IR Simplified Podcast, episode 54. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining me here on this episode of the IR Simplified Podcast. Today's episode, I am going to be talking about why I do not think that industrial relations should be part of the human resources umbrella. Now, this is something that I was hoping to talk about in the previous episode, except I ran out of time, so I wanted to make sure that I talked about it in this one. And then after that, I will be talking about why I think that businesses should be moving away from involvement with unions and moving more towards creating or being part of enterprise associations within their business. So without further ado, let's get on with it. Okay, kicking off this episode, my thoughts on why I do not believe that industrial relations should be part of the human resources umbrella, and if anything, that HR should answer to IR, not the other way around. Now, I think the first and foremost reason why IR should not be part of HR is because that the poor human resources generalist already has too much to do, and throwing industrial relations into the mix is bound to create an environment where someone is a jack of all trades except a master of none. Now, going on, there was a post on The Balance, thebalance.com from June this year, so it's only a couple of months old, where it talks about the new role of HR, about being a strategic partner, employee sponsor, advocate, etc., change mentor. But they also go and say the responsibilities of the HR professional. Now, it says, depending on the size of the organization, the HR manager has responsibility for all of the functions that deal with the needs and activities of the organization's people, including these areas of responsibility: recruiting, hiring, training, organizational development, communication, performance management, coaching, policy recommendation, salary and benefits, team building, employee relations, and leadership. Now, with all of that, I do genuinely believe that it is too much to expect that the humble HR person, having done their degree and whatever else, is expected to understand the intricacies of industrial relations in Australia. Now, I'm not saying that all HR professionals are inept or incompetent at industrial relations, because there are some that are doing it, though my concerns are, if you have a look at the occurrence, whether it's a small percentage of industrial action that's going on and industrial unrest, then I believe that that is a problem within the business and that they have the wrong people looking after the industrial relations side of things. Now, something else that I want to throw into the mix is, as everyone, you know, is of the view, or obviously that they are because they haven't changed it, of the view that industrial relations is part of the human resources umbrella, sphere, training, competencies, whatever, why is it a requirement or that if you're doing industrial relations that you either have a HR or a law degree? Now, you know, there's some that will say, oh, because it gives you the skills in this. Well, yes, fair enough. It may give you the skills or the knowledge of the legislation, though, as has been pointed out in a LinkedIn conversation that I had, because I did ask that question, that industrial relations or employment law is often an elective in a law degree. So, for all intents and purposes, you can get someone that has not done anything industrial relations-wise, got their law degree, all of a sudden, bang, go and apply for a job doing industrial relations. What does that say about that? The other thing that I want to add with this is that, yes, they've gone in, done industrial relations, as they want to move up further up the food chain. What does a lawyer know about remuneration and benefits? What does a lawyer know about recruiting? What does a lawyer know about hiring, training, organizational development, performance management, etc.? So this is the thing. The concern with that is it's either a HR skill set or it's a law skill set. Personally, I don't believe it's either. I think, it's my view that if you do a psychology degree, you're probably more competent or more able to be a decent industrial relations practitioner, consultant, whatever, than you are with those other two, because industrial relations is all about the relationship. And if you know how to deal with relationships, you know how to deal with people, then you've probably got a good step up on that one. Now, one other thing that I want to throw into this equation and discussion is your thoughts on whether having a degree, whether it's HR or law, actually changes the way that you think about things. Because we know that if you've got a law degree, then, you know, you go down that litigation part and that's your frame of thinking. Some people, you know, with their HR degree, that's management. Whereas, as I've said, for me, I view industrial relations as somewhere in the middle. Yes, you've got the law side of things where you have to make sure you're compliant with the Act and the Modern Award and all that sort of good stuff. Enterprise agreements too. Though you're not quite managing people, you're about dealing with a relationship. So you're going down that path. And, you know, it's the thing, as much as it's a catch term and, you know, I think it's being done to death now, employee engagement should form part of industrial relations as well, because this is the thing. If your employees aren't engaged and, you know, not saying that they're happy working there, but they're aware of the company message and they're aware of the, you know, being engaged in the workplace, then they're more likely to adopt the squeaky wheel syndrome. You know, the squeaky wheel gets the most oil. They're likely to niggle and gripe and, you know, for want of a better term, white and any efforts that are going down on that path. So going back to my previous comment about, you know, these qualifications changing the way that you think, how many HR professionals do you know that do industrial relations actually have the skills or the same skill set or have done the same sort of experience that the guys are, or girls, and I'm, you know, using it as a generic term, the employees have on the floor? So if you're, let's say you're a warehousing organization, and, you know, you run around doing stores and, you know, the people on the floor do all that sort of stuff. How many people would have spent time on the floor being aware of that, have gone through and actually, you know, spent a day down there, got their, you know, truck license, or, you know how to tarp up a truck, or gone and got their forklift tickets, so there's a way for them when they're walking around to have a discussion with the people who are on the floor about that, ask them about the forklift, or if they're changing a forklift, you know, changing contracts for the forklift, like going from a counterbalanced Toyota to a electric Lindy or something like that. You know, how many people would be aware at that level of that? Now, I'm not saying that you need to be able to go and stack a, you know, double deep pallet on, you know, three or four levels up high and all that sort of stuff. I'm not saying that you need to be able to do that, but how many can relate to it? How many are aware of those processes that they've gone through? How many can say, yeah, well, hey, I've got this forklift ticket, or I've got an HR license, or even, you know, and this is the other thing too. How many IR professionals, whether it's, as you know, in your own business or whether it's in someone else's business or big companies, how many of the IR professionals or IR people who look after industrial relations actually have the same sort of protective or high-vis clothing that the people on the shop floor have? You'll find that most of them don't get out of their corporate clothes. If they do, you know, they might be, you know, chucking one of the little high-vis shirts on and all that sort of stuff. And this is the thing. We know people are visual. People are different. And if you go in being different to the person that you're talking to and you're not on the same level, then you're not going to get the same level of engagement as them. And, you know, and this is – it's all these little things that you know, form part of industrial relations that you don't get taught in university, you don't get taught in your HR degree, you don't get taught in your law degree and things like that. So anyway, I'm not going to waffle too much because I know there's going to be people that will have comments on that one. I do genuinely believe that until we create a specific standalone industrial relations degree, you know, or undergrad, whatever it is, that that just deals with that, I don't believe that a HR degree or a law degree will be you know, useful for going into jobs. Yes, you know, you've got it, bang, don't think that you're an expert in it all, because no one is. So anyway, I'm going to leave it on that one. I would like to hear your thoughts on that. So wherever you find this, add a comment below. If you're viewing on iTunes, head on over to irsimplified.com.au/episode 54 or number 54, but you'll find it in the show notes and all that sort of stuff. Now, before I move on to the next part of this episode of the podcast, I would like to encourage you to become a member of IR Simplified. Now, for 12 payments of $39, you'll get lifetime access to the following: all of the training courses, excluding IR 101, that are on irsimplified.com.au. So that is unfair dismissal, workplace investigations, bullying and harassment, general protections, union management, all those sorts of courses that you can find at irsimplified.com.au/courses. You will also get unlimited access to all the documents in the library, which are a variety of templates and guides, how-tos, etc. You'll get silver membership to the site australianindustrialrelations.com. You'll be able to view irsimplified.com.au without those pesky Google ads in there. You'll also get access to become part of the monthly office hours calls. You'll also get access to the back catalogue of office hours calls, and along with an exclusive weekly members-only podcast, which digs deeper into ways on how to simplify industrial relations. Now, as a special offer to listeners of the IR Simplified podcast, you can get 14 days access for only $1. To do that, you will need to head on over to irsimplified.com.au/$1. That is the number one followed by the word dollar, as all one word. Of course, there'll be a link to it in the show notes, but if you want to find out more about becoming a member, head on over to irsimplified.com.au/join. Now that that's out of the way, let's talk about enterprise associations. Now, for those who don't know, that enterprise associations are effectively a union of employees, though it only deals with the employees in that enterprise. Now, it is covered in the registered organisations part of the Fair Work Act and the new registered organisations legislation. They are a democratic organisation, so they'll have the three office bearers and the employees who are members of that employee enterprise association will be able to vote on representation and members and office bearers and all that sort of stuff. So why do I think that they are better than unions? Well, for a start, is that when you join an enterprise association, or if your business creates one, or if you're an employee and you decide to get a group of your other colleagues around because you don't want to join the particular union, you may not like a particular union, you may not agree with the way that unions support the Labor Party and all that sort of stuff, or for whatever reasons. Now, you can create an enterprise association yourself. So what you need, according to the Act, is obviously 20 people. So you need 20 people there, a good group of members. So that's 20 people in your workplace. Now, obviously, it won't work if there's only 10 of you in the workplace. So with those 20, you hold an election, you adopt a constitution, you create office bearers. So I think that's president, secretary, and treasurer. And then you apply, you fill out an application to the Fair Work Commission to apply to become a registered enterprise association. Now, once the paperwork goes through and the commission says, yes, you can become one, then this enterprise association has all the same rights and powers and everything like that that the union does. Now, this is the thing, is that, as I've said before, I believe that businesses should be moving towards this model rather than complaining about unions. And, it's the thing, is that will, if you've got an enterprise association, then you can make it part of part of doing business, or employee conditions, is that everyone who takes a job in that Acme Widgets, for example, becomes a member of this association. So therefore, effectively, you're creating 100% union membership in that workplace. Whether it covers everyone, that's entirely up to those who are part of it and their constitution of the business. The constitution of the enterprise association. So you can do it that way. Now, if you're a business owner, when you're dealing with an enterprise association, remember you're dealing with your own staff. So you're more likely to find a way to resolve things amicably. You may have a bit more of a, I wouldn't say candid discussion, but you may be a bit more open, you may be a bit more honest because you're not dealing with a third party. The other thing too is that you can genuinely engage with the representative of that enterprise association or the members of it, because you can talk to them and say, if let's say for argument's sake, there's a, enterprise agreement bargaining's going on. Traditionally, a union would want an X percent pay increase. If you've got a properly engaged workforce and you communicate with your employees and your staff effectively, then, you may be able to turn around and say to them, well, listen, we can only afford, due to X, Y, Z, we can only give you a, let's say for argument's sake, it's a 3% increase instead of the 5% that the union was wanting. Now, you can deal with that, and then you're only dealing with the employees in that association. Yes, even in the union, you're still dealing with the employees in that business as well, though with a union, there's outside factors as well, which I won't get into because I'm sure that's going to start a whole heap of discussions that I really don't have time to address in this episode. I may do it in a later episode, but, you know, this is the thing. Obviously, unions use benefits in one business or something that they get in one organisation to use that as a recruiting tool for the next organisation, potentially your competitors there as well. And they also use it as a tool to keep, members as members of the union. So whereas if it was just dealing with an employee, an enterprise association, that you would only be dealing with them, you know, and then there may be the better balance of pay increases as opposed to, sustainability of the business, because sometimes some of the pay increases that unions ask for, depending on the industries, may be unsustainable for the business, though 9 times out of 10 that the union concerned or the organisation concerned wouldn't be interested in that because they want X, Y, and Z because they can claim, you know, say, look, this is what we've got for you. Whereas if it's an enterprise association, you're more likely to be a bit open and honest with them. You can also, because they're part of your business as well, you know, you can get them to do the confidential information and all that sort of stuff. So you can share a bit more information with them and keep it within the business rather than, you know, opening the books up and showing a union official that who's going to turn around and potentially could take it to a competitor and say, oh, hey, this is what organisation XYZ does. So this is the thing, you know. I did bring this conversation up on the LinkedIn group Australian Industrial Relations a couple of years ago, and some of the old hands or that have been in IR for a while have quickly jumped on that and said that it's a bad idea because we'll get back into lawlessness and everything like that from the 70s or whatever it was. But I was only born in the 70s. I'm not aware of that. And the other thing too is that I'm pretty sure most of the people who join now or want to become part of, you know, a collective bargaining and all that sort of stuff are doing so because they don't generally believe everything that the union tells them, though they do want to join something collective to be represented by someone. And the other side of the coin as well is that I do believe that, you know, the Australian workforce is mature enough to be able to handle the responsibility and the complexities and everything that goes with it of starting an enterprise association. So, it's a thing. I think that this is something that businesses should be looking at doing. I mean, especially the bigger ones, like, you know, take any of the bigger ones that are always in the news about industrial action or having fights with union X, Y, and Z. Now, that being said, though, to bring one in, you would need to restore trust in the business. And now, this isn't saying that, managing director Bill Smith turns around and says, come on, guys, we're going to start an enterprise association, because they're more likely to, tell you to go jump because they don't trust why management's doing it. So you need to restore the trust in the employees. You need to give them a reason why, or get them more passionate about becoming a member of this new enterprise association than they are about staying a member of Union X, Y, and Z. Yes, it's simple to say on a podcast and look at things on paper. Getting out into the workplace, it's a lot harder to do because we're all individuals. A lot of people in businesses, there's a lot of carryover from bad mistakes that management has done. But this is the thing. This is about moving industrial relations into the 21st century rather than keeping it in the adversarial way that it is of us and them. ACTU says something, so then they, fire a shot across someone's bow. Then the business groups turn around and do the same thing as well and fire a shot across their bow, and the tit for tat. Well, with enterprise associations, you keep it all in-house. It's just dealt with the enterprise. You're not worrying about what, organisation down the road is getting, what they're paying their staff, because they may be on an unsustainable business model. They may be doing something wrong. Who knows? But this is the thing. Enterprise associations are my thoughts. They're the way to go. This is how we can learn to simplify industrial relations. This is how we can bring industrial relations into the 21st century, make it something that is less adversarial and more, valuating to the business and even valuating to the employees themselves. So Getting up to, where are we now, the 19-minute mark. I think I might end this one here before I start waffling on too much about that one. I'd be interested to see what your thoughts are on this. Please leave your comments below. With that one, you will find it either at, irsimplified.com.au/episode54. That is episode 54. If you like, if you're viewing, listening to this, or viewing this on iTunes or SoundCloud or anything like that, give it a thumbs up, thumbs down, leave your comments and all that sort of stuff. And in the next episode, which is episode 55, I will be talking about the bill that's currently before the Senate, the Fair Work Amendment Protecting Vulnerable Workers Bill, and with regards to how it impacts franchisees and why I don't think that it'll be a bad thing, and franchisees should actually be franchisors, my apologies, should be actually taking responsibility and saying, yes, we want this in, and bringing things in themselves. So anyway, that'll be on the next episode. Thank you for listening. My name's Cameron Blewett. This was the IR Simplified podcast. Thank you for listening, and I hope to have you join me on the next episode. Bye for now.